Psalm 23, a favorite throughout Christendom. As they first heard it in the Hebrew, Adonai Roi Lo Exar, Bin Oth Desha Yarbet Seni, and today, Ome Menuchoth Yenacheleni. He leads me beside quiet waters. We pray. Jesus, I long to walk closer with you. Guide me. Guide me to those quiet waters, O Lord, as I follow you in your word. Amen. We're following a series this summer by a hard-handed sheep man named Philip Keller, and the insights here are new to most of us. I sent out an email this morning with a link if you'd like to listen to this in the free audio that came my way, so be sure and check for that. We do have one book left, and be sure and please take the last book. It's out there for whoever can grab it. Did you know that sheep are 70% water? It's probably true of mammals in general, but sheep likewise, as much as they have to live in more barren areas, it's more healthy for them, they still need a lot of water. But they can go for months without actually drinking from a river or a stream. And what about shepherds who have to dig their own wells and then the sheep are afraid to drink? And what's with those sheep who would rather drink polluted water instead of the clean, pure water that the shepherd can find because of his skill and his care? He knows that some of the purest water is the dew in the grass. He will, in fact, by his own industry and hard work, dig the wells that will give the sheep the water that they need. He will scout out the springs and streams as he leads me beside quiet waters. So most of us have gone out onto the lawn or some grassy field in the morning, and the first time you do it, maybe you're a little surprised, but the next few times, if your feet are wet, you should have known. Soaking feet. I love these people that run out in the morning in socks, you know, and then run across the lawn. And then, yeah. But there's the dew. And whoever just stops to look at the silvery droplets of dew. But the shepherd knows that's some of the purest, cleanest water in those silver droplets. And in fact, that is how, according to Keller, sheep can go for months without drinking from a stream or some other water, as long as it's not too hot and the shepherd knows when to get the sheep out there into those dewy meadows, dewy meads, as one of our hymn writers put it. The beautiful silver droplets will be out there early in the morning, and it may be that the shepherd has to get up very early to take his sheep out there to have them feed and drink at the same time from that pure, clean water. But it also may mean being up through the night, a moonlit night, when the dew will be heavy in the grass and the sheep love to graze. Shepherds keeping watch over their flocks at night, perhaps dewy meadows, when they really needed to drink that water from the dew. So have you discovered the value of the dewy meadows with your Lord in the quiet of the morning? Isaiah the prophet was speaking about that in chapter 50 when he said of the Lord, he wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. He gets me up, takes me out into the meadows where I can quietly in that stillness receive the refreshment that I need. And God's people down through the ages, the ones that are calm and strong and able to deal with things as they come up, will constantly point back to those morning meadow walks with the shepherd in the Word, where the Word is there without the distractions, without the troubles of later. Before the sun burns the dew off the grass, it's there. He wakens me, helps me listen, helps me drink so that I can be fully refreshed. Keller, thinking back on those 8 years when he was a sheep herder, couldn't help thinking about that time when he read this verse. He leads me beside quiet waters. He says, in my mind's eye, I can see my flock again, the gentleness, stillness, and softness of early morning always found my sheep knee-deep in dew-drenched grass. There they fed heavily and contentedly as the sun rose and its heat burned the dewdrops from the leaves. The flock would retire to find shade. There, fully satisfied and happily refreshed, they would lie down to rest and ruminate through the day. Nothing pleased me more. It is, in fact, my master's delight, not just to see me in the green pastures like we heard about last week, but also in the dewy meadows where that water is so clean, so that he can tell me again today, my sins are forgiven. Tell me today that yesterday is forgotten. Tell me once again this morning that his promises are new. His compassion never fails. He wants to reassure me of that day by day. Some people think they need to read many chapters or spend a lot of time at this. I remember Professor Habeck at the seminary telling us, you don't have to spend hours or read chapters or even multiple verses. One verse is better than none. These calendars that have a Bible verse on them can sometimes be a tremendous help just to stop and look at that and drink in the water of life from that Word of God and then meditate on that through the day. What a blessing. So many blessings that come to us now on the internet. If you can hook into the devotions at our Synod website and so forth, he leads me beside quiet waters, the dew in the grass. There is no question that the human soul is thirsty. People tend to think that nowadays the disturbances in our society and our culture are something new. Not true. It's always been like that. Read the Psalms. Read the Psalms where David is actually the king of the Lord's people, and God gave them their laws through Moses, and David still talks about the evil people with their tongues going wild as if they can control and have their own speech is free. They claimed it in those days too. But they were in slavery to sin with thirsty souls and still to this day searching for meaning in life. Plunging into sports, into work, into family, people try to fill up their hearts, which are feeling empty. But as it says in Romans 3, there's no one who seeks God. We all try to find it in some other place, not realizing that your heart is a God-shaped vessel. Only God can fill it. Nothing else will do. But in that pursuit, it often is things that are blessings, like work and family, sports. The devil likes to take things that are good blessings from God and twist them into something that occupies our attention or obsesses us. And so we end up thinking about other things when the Lord is speaking to us through the sermons or through other Bible studies or devotions. So easy to be distracted, to have our minds wander, and the Lord keeps pulling us back. No substitute for God. So would the Lord's prophet have to say the same thing about us? Philip Keller kind of goes off the beam a little bit here. He talks about other people as if it's true of them and not of himself. It's a bit of an overstatement, but we have to admit, understanding our sinful nature, that we have one, along with our new man, that this is going to happen back and forth time and again. We will go off the path of the Lord and need to be brought back again. But the shepherd does not forsake his sheep. That's the key. He said through Jeremiah, and this is a warning, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. To this day in Israel, it's so dry that they have cisterns to catch the rainwater. May not drink it as much as they used to, but for irrigation and so forth, it's just constant. But if a cistern leaks, that's why they would plaster those old cisterns so they wouldn't leak. If it leaks, what have you gained? What happens if your gas tank leaks or the water leaks out of the only jug you have when you're up in the boundary waters? Could be difficult. So leaky cisterns is what they're digging, and then they end up wondering why they're thirsty. So the Lord says, I have the springs of living water. They dig their own cisterns. When we find ourselves thirsty, we need the Lord to bring us back. Just like parents with little children need to remember that sometimes they're just thirsty. Remember my mother telling us that when you've diapered them, you've fed them, you've burped them, you've done everything you can, maybe they're just thirsty. And our souls are like that too. We don't realize how thirsty we get. We need the Master to keep on calling. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's like the burden from the Lord is just stoop down and drink and live. Because this Master of ours knows how to dig deep wells. This is not the kind of well that you think of usually in America. Keller talks about as a boy growing up in East Africa that the native shepherds and herdsmen would actually dig deep wells along the rivers there in East Africa. Dig them so deep with ramps and stuff, it was like going down into a cavern, into a room where the sun is beating down from above, but there's cool, fresh water down there for the sheep. Now, the sheep looking down in there would be afraid to go down that ramp, except that the Master is calling. And Keller says he would look down there, the native shepherds bailing water under the equatorial sun, working so hard to give that cool, fresh water to their sheep, and the sweat just drenching them. Isn't it true of us in our daily walk too with the Lord? When the Lord leads me to quiet waters, it's not always a pleasant experience. How many times have you come to a very unpleasant experience and had to wonder, is the Lord really with me? Is He guiding me? Is He helping me? We need the Lord constantly to be speaking to us in His Word and saying, I'm with you. I'll never forsake you. I'm leading you. I'm already down here in this. And I'm working hard to give you that clear, fresh, clean water. Follow me. Follow me while I'm working and calling, and you will find refreshment for you. Part of that refreshment in these deep wells, when the Lord is calling us into those deep, dark places that may look scary at first, is to tell us what our one purpose is in life. Do you remember that? The one reason why the Lord leaves us on this earth? It's really true that after you're baptized as a baby or come to faith later in life, the Lord could just take you right home to heaven. Maybe many times in your life you've wished that. The older we get, the more we wish that. Just take me home, Lord. But there's one reason why the Lord leaves us here, and He speaks of that in John chapter 10. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. We are those other sheep, my friends. He was talking about the Gentiles outside the family of God at the time, the non-Jews. And they brought the gospel to us. Now it's our turn to bring the gospel close by to our friends and neighbors and associates, but also far away through our missions. He also leads us to springs and streams. So what is it about personal preferences? You realize that that's the main thing that complicates computers, iPhones, iPads. I'm sorry for mentioning only products from a certain company for those who are perhaps turned off by that. I've been told that I should cover that up during the sermon, but I couldn't find another place for the computer. So anyway, the Lord leads us, and people have their own preferences, you see. And the problem with preferences is it's a computer programmer's nightmare. If you guys would just be satisfied with what we give you, then we wouldn't have to do all this work of updating all these programs and stuff. It affected our synod when we tried to do programs for finances and organization and all that. We worked really hard as a synod to get Wellsware out. Some of you remember that. And then what happens is the main companies change the operating system underneath, and then it all has to change down the line. Update, 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 and usually at the worst possible time because we have our preferences. Sadly, that's also the way sheep are. They have their preferences, and their preference happens to be polluted mud holes. Keller was talking about watching this flock of sheep where the shepherd was trying to lead them to beautiful mountain stream of clear water. Have you ever seen mountain streams with clear water? We were told growing up, if it's flowing over rocks, you can drink it. It's good. Wonderful. Unless you're a sheep. And there you are walking along a path where other flocks have gone. And sheep really don't care what's in that water. It's not just muddy from feet. It's manure and urine. And they're going to drink it because it's there. It's accessible. It's easy. But they don't realize. They can't realize. There are parasites in that water. Nematodes, liver flukes. They can finally kill them. So people say about spiritual things too. Does it really matter? What church you go to? What water you drink? They've fallen for the devil's lie that it's just interpretation. Really? Just interpretation? Go read the passage that they're quoting that doesn't sound right the way they're quoting it. You'll find they're taking it out of context. Scripture is clear. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But what will it hurt? Will it work if I put it into life? Well, will this idea of the sheep work in real life if you let your kids drink from mud puddles? Don't worry, kids. I don't think any parents here will do that. Don't do that. It's this delayed reaction. Why do people say we'll let the kids grow up and then they can decide for themselves? How heartless, how lazy, how shameful. When you follow the good shepherd who leads you to the quiet waters, he wants that water pure and clean because he knows the answer to will it hurt. People think a little false teaching won't hurt, really? It has a delayed reaction like parasites. It worms its way into your innards and can finally kill your soul. And that's so important and so dangerous right now that this past week, our synod president forwarded a letter to all of us pastors from Bill Zicke, who is the head of our publishing house in Milwaukee. It's a long letter, and I can forward it to any of you that want. Just send me an email, and I'll do that. But this is one paragraph, and I've obviously shortened it a bit. But as the Synod's publisher, that's Northwestern Publishing House, we see disturbing changes in the overall Christian publishing world. What people read often reflects and shapes what they believe. We know the Holy Spirit creates and strengthens faith through God's Word. We must also acknowledge the evil Satan can exert through the words of man. Beware of books promoted as Christian today by news and entertainment sources to dilute the definition of Christianity by categorizing it with other religions or marginalizing it as spirituality, self-realization, inspiration, or self-help prayer procedures. Does the self remind you of Satan in the garden with Adam and Eve? God's trying to hold you back. I'm paraphrasing here, but you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, that was partly true, knowing evil by experience. They did. We died, and God wants to make us alive. So we need to have springs and streams flowing pure and clean. Jesus, through Isaiah, said, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." Jesus tells us in John 16 that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. It's why our synod works so hard, now even digitally, to publish Meditations and Forward in Christ, our magazine. It's not just inspiring stories about people who come to know Christ as their Savior, but there are warnings in here about the dirty waters and the mud holes out there. so that you can continue to drink what's pure and clean. The only problem we have, well, one problem we have here at our church is that these are sitting on the table in the fellowship area. We used to send them to everyone's home, but then they're going digital now, so you can get subscriptions to this to have it with you all the time. But I'm told that there are a fair number of our members, and it's not just the Germans, it's the Scandinavians too, who don't want to take the last copy. Please take the last copy. There's one I remember left from Lent, and I wondered about that, and somebody explained that to me. Take them. We can only give them away so long because, and we really don't want to cut back on that subscription if we can help. That's why we have a publishing house, so the Lord can help us to watch out for those who cause divisions, put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you've learned. Keep away from them. Follow the shepherd away from the mud holes. He leads us beside quiet waters as he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases, as he brings us to his house once again in the early morning hours to refresh and grow and go to tell others about the good shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. Amen.